Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin. And we are holding right at the second line, Rav Ada Berei de Rav Yitzchak Amar. Okay, so let's get back right now again to the whole original question. Remember that this entire discussion started, the question of whether Midas is going according to Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov or not, and that had to do, in the end, with how high the ascent is from the entranceway into, that was our raya, into the Har HaBayit, between that point and the point of the doorway to the Heichal. There it might be a way to get out of the whole discussion. Remember, it all started with what seemed to be a contradiction between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midah. So the Mishnah in Tamid said that the Lishkat HaTzla'im was in the north, because it said it was in the Tzvon Ma'arav. And the Mishnah in Midot said that it was in Drom Ma'arav. So we explained that it was a Machlokas Tanoim. Now, Rav Ada Berei de Rav Yitzchak, he wants to say there's no contradiction at all, and it's really quite simple. Hai Lishka Aktuya Mekatsya. Basically, the Lishkas HaTloyim was quite large. It was larger than the other Lishakot, which were could be different sizes. The vision that we have of like four exactly the same size rooms on the four sides of Beit HaMikdash, that's wrong, says Rav Ada Berei de Rav Yitzchak. Basically, the picture is very different, because what happens over here is that that Lishka was more towards, we're going to see, it's more towards the south, indeed, but it extends also much longer towards the north, past the midpoint, than the other Lishakot did. So because of that, it was towards both sides. Akhtuya Mekatsi means it extended towards both corners. And because of that, if you were coming in from the Darom, from the Tzafon, so then when you would look at, oh, gosh, look how far that goes down, it must be all the way in the south. So you call it in the south. And if you're coming from the south, da'ati midarom, so then it's mischazi lebitzafon, because when you walk in from the south, you say, oh, gee, you know, this thing goes all the way up there, so it must be essentially in the north. And basically what you had, maybe you had some broom closets or something, you know, between that lishka and the all the way at the southern side, so it didn't get all the way up to the corner. And then, of course, you had the stairwell, and you had the small Beit HaMoked on the northern side. So everything adds up. Now, as far as where it really was, in other words, if you would be taking a bird's eye view of this thing, and you would be telling me, okay, but where is it, if we're going to be placing the four Lishakot, where would you call it? Well, Mistavra de Bamara Vidro Mitavo, it's much more reasonable to say that it came really the way we originally understood it, and that it was essentially in the Dromit side. The Dromit side, remember, that was the side that was built into the Azorah. So that is the place where it really was, because it needed to be. It was B'Mokom Kadesh, and that was where they would be bringing the Korbanos from. So it was there. And then you had that smaller Lishka on the north corner, and that was just the stairwell and the place for the small fire when the Kohanim would come up from the stairwell that went down to the Beis HaTefillah. That's more reasonable. I'll explain to you why. Because Midr Amina Lechem HaPonim Alechem HaPonim. Look, we haven't discussed another issue that we really should have, but is discussed. It's discussed now, essentially. So, I mean, even it says, we make such a contradiction. This is basically where we're going to be doing it. And we answered it. So here was the discussion. The discussion went like this, that we've got what appears to be a stira also in where the Lechem HaPonim was, because we just sort of put that under the carpet. But in reality, the Mishnah that we quoted from Midas, so it said that the Lechem HaPonim was in the southeast. So it was directly on the other side of the Lishkas HaTloyim. So when you're looking, you're coming in from the Azara. Remember the picture, you can look at your map. If you look to your left, from the outside, it would say, this is the Lishkas HaTloyim. And if you're looking to your right, from the outside, it would say that it was, this is the I'm sorry, I said lechem haponim or lechem atloim, it would say that this is the lechem haponim. Now, the Mishnah in Tamid was not as clear as the Mishnah in Midas, because the Mishnah in Tamid doesn't say exactly where each one is. But we're going to make an assumption. The assumption that we made is because it does say one thing in that Mishnah. In that Mishnah, it said that the Lishkas HaTlayim was exactly where it appears in the opposite of the map that we had, which was in the north. We had it in the south. So it says over there, that was our stira, right? That was our original stira about the Lishkas HaTlayim. But there is a stira that derives from that. And the stira that derives from that is that we're assuming that it's going in order. So that after it lists Lishkas HaTlayim, which we thought meant in the northwest, which we've just come to say, no, it doesn't really mean in the northwest. It means it looked like that, but it was really in the southwest. So we assume that then when it continues saying the other ones, what are the other ones? It goes from there to the Lishkas HaChotamot, and then from there it goes to the small Lishkas Beis HaMoked, meaning the small fire, and then it goes to the Lishkas Lechem HaPanim. So then we assume that we're doing the standard count. The standard count towards the right means that it's counterclockwise, right? Because we always assume that. And what we're talking about over here is the description of the story of where the Kohen is meant to be going. So we say, okay, go into the Lishkas HaTlayim. Now, whenever we're talking about where you're supposed to be going and what you're supposed to be doing, I mean, like we've always seen, we always go counterclockwise, which we call Derech Yamin, because when you're facing something, you're walking around it to the right. So then you're moving counterclockwise. Now, if we start counterclockwise from the Lishkas HaTlayim, which we thought was in the north, and we're trying to say now is in the south. So then what happens is that you would go along counterclockwise, and you would go down towards the south. You would get directly to the small Beit HaMoked on the south. Then you would turn along there, and you would get to the Lechem HaPanim, and then you would be in the northeast. So then we've got a contradiction, because we said that it was in the southeast. By the way, all of this is a little bit weird, because then we would be having the going down to the Beis HaTfilah would be in the southern part, which would be Kodesh. And the whole point is we want to get the Kohanim out of there without going into the Kodesh. But fine. The point is that the only way that these Mishnayos end up being okay is as follows. So we answered that Amar Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Yeshua, that no, it's not a contradiction. The Tana that was in Midas, he was going actually the way you say. And that is, we were going towards the right, which is counterclockwise. But the other Tana was Kachashiv Derech Smol. So in Tamid, we were going in the opposite direction. So now the point that I want to make, says the Gemara, is that going in the opposite direction and turning clockwise only has everything working out if you're turning the clockwise from the south, starting with the Lishkas HaTlayim. So then actually everything really does arrive at exactly the same point. But if you start at the north and you're going clockwise, then your last stop would put you, the Lechem HaPanim, on the southwest. So then it's still a contradiction, because we have it in the southeast. So obviously we're doing it wrong. We should start from the clockwise movement, which is on your southwest side, which means that as you're looking at that Lishkas Beis HaMoked, so you're starting, let's imagine we've got a square inscribed in our clock, right? So then at 7 o'clock, you're at the far corner of the square at the bottom. That's the southwest. And then you get up to 10 o'clock. You're going clockwise. Then you get up to 10 o'clock. And then you get up to 2 o'clock. And then you get up to 5 o'clock, correct? So then you end up with the Lishka of the Lechem Aponim at 5 o'clock, which is exactly where the other Mishnah says it was. It's supposed to be on the corner to your right on the south. So that means you would be on the southeast, not on the southwest. 5 o'clock. So then it works out perfectly. All I need to do is invert the direction that I'm going in. Now, by the way, Tosis points out, you don't really need to invert the direction you're going in. All you need to do is to say that one person is on the outside and the other person is on the inside. So let's say you walked into the Beis HaMoked and you're facing the Lishakot. So if you're facing the Lishakot, when you start turning towards your right, you're turning clockwise. If you're facing the outside wall and you're turning to your right, then you're turning counterclockwise. So why would the Mishnah put it this way, that we're drawing a map in the wrong direction, so to speak, in the clockwise direction? So that Tosfos answers, but I'm only bringing up the Tosfos because I want you to see the picture in front of your eyes. Again, the Mishnah that we started with had the Lishka of the Tloim on the southwest, and that was at 7 o'clock. And the other Mishnah, which we thought was going in order, had it completely backwards, or so it is. We assumed, because we thought we were starting counting from 10 o'clock, because it said it was on the northwest side, which is 10 o'clock, and then it ended up with the Lishkas Lechem HaPonim at 2 o'clock. So how did that work? So we answered, you're going in the other direction, okay? But even if you're going in the other direction, you still end up with the stop before where you began. If you're starting at 10 o'clock, then you're going to end up at 7 o'clock, which is still the wrong place. The only way that it works the same is if you start the way we said, you start at 7 o'clock, which is the south, then if you're going clockwise, where are you going to end up? At 5 o'clock. Does everybody understand this? It's very straightforward if you have the picture of the clock in your mind. And the picture of the clock, the reason I'm using the clock is because of the direction. Clockwise is small. And counterclockwise is yamin, standing from the outside of the clock facing in, which is what we're doing on the Mizbeach. So it's just like, I know I'm belaboring this. I'm not seeing your faces. I don't know why, because everybody's got their pictures of their names up. So I have no feedback. It is very difficult to give the daf when there's no feedback. I'm talking to the wall. I mean, how would you like to talk to the wall? For God's sake, help me. So I need to know. I need to see if you're understanding. Otherwise, you're going to blab my mouth off and you're going to get bored. Then I won't see you at all. So it's better to expose your face for a minute and not have to get bored, okay? So is this very clear, the clock face and so on, and what we're talking about? Thank you. Now we can proceed, because frankly, I'm getting bored. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara says, look, the only way that that answer gives you any relief from your problem is if you're starting in the right place. If you're starting in the north, it just exacerbates the problem. So therefore, if you're going to say that in reality, when we said the answer that the Lishka Satloim is Akshia Makatsia, without committing ourselves to whether it's more in the north or more in the left and more in the south. So if you're going to admit that I am correct in saying, well, of course it's more in the south, then we've got an answer. Okay, because then it works out that we started at the right place. And if it's more in the south, then the last stop for the Lechem HaPonim maker was at 5 o'clock. So that's the answer. Hainu demitar, it's Lechem HaPonim, Lechem HaPonim. That's exactly how we resolved our issue. But if you're going to tell me in reality, even when we started counting clockwise, we started counting clockwise from 10 o'clock because we thought that the Lishka Satloyim in reality is closer to the northern corner, so then your last stop is at 7 o'clock. So then you didn't answer anything because it's still a contradiction. If it's more in the north, so then what's your answer? You didn't answer anything. So this conclusively proves to me that, yes, the Mishnah is completely consistent, even according to the answer that we're giving now, that the Lishka was Aktsuya Miktsuye, which is actually shows up on your map. You see that it was drawn with Aktsuya Aktsuye, but that in reality it is closer to the southern side. Now everything makes sense. Shma Amina, that's great. But one big problem. The one big problem is you're not allowed to count going clockwise. Because we said, didn't we say before, V'omer mar kopino chataponeh lo yeh el aderech yamin lemizrach? You always have to count going counterclockwise. And that would be, in terms of the Mizbeach, when you make your first turn, you're going to be turning towards the door into the Azara, which is in the east. But again, that is just confusing. So we can forget about the Lemizrach, because that's not the point here. So how could the Mishnah be going in a clockwise direction? Which, of course, gives additional meaning to Tosfos' question. When Tosfos says, you don't have to say it was going clockwise. You could simply say it was going from the inside. And Tosfos explains that logistically, the Mishnah was not talking about going from the inside, because the Mishnah said beferish before that, that the Kohen was in the Lishkata Gazit, because that's where we did the pious, and he was supposed to go from the Lishkata Gazit into the Lishkat Beit HaMoked. So he was not inside the Beit HaMoked, he was outside, and therefore to tell him, and you know where to go, does not make sense, that then we're going to start talking about from the point of view of somebody who's standing inside the Beit HaMoked. That's why the Gemara had to come up with the answer that, okay, the guys, for some reason, were counting clockwise. Fine. So therefore, the Gemara is a kasha. You're not supposed to count clockwise. Says the Gemara, where does it say you're not supposed to count clockwise? It says you're not supposed to move clockwise. So Hanimili Ba'avoda, I understand if you're actualizing the Avoda, and now you're going to be walking around the Mizbeach, so Kopino Shataponeh Lo Ye'el Adarachimin, which in fact would explain why we've sort of embedded the word Lemizrach there, even though it makes no sense. Because in context, Lemizrach is a reference to the way a person is walking around the Mizbeach. So we indeed would wish to clarify, look, this doesn't mean that your brain has to work in a counterclockwise direction. I mean, that would be a prion, for God's sake. Now, maybe your brain should work in a clockwise direction, right? So the only point is that that's in terms of the actual Aveda. Aval hacha chushbana bi'almahu. When it's talking about over here, it's only giving you a map. And a map can definitely be a clockwise map. Okay. That, by the way, was not just a joke about the prion. I mean, it isn't it. Absolutely amazing thing that the direction of a protein should describe the ability for your brain to function. And it seems to be exactly the same thing. So, I mean, this is not a small issue. It's life and death. If you don't want to be a mad cow. Okay. So what we're talking about over here is Chushbana Bialma. As a matter of fact, this ties into another point that different Tosfos makes here, which is, when the Torah speaks about the way in which you're supposed to be mirabea the tchum, and we're talking about how these cities are supposed to be squares, when we're making the cheshbon of how we give out the area around the city to the Levium, it actually goes clockwise. So why do we learn out from Yam Shel Shlomo? Why don't we just learn out from the pasuk in the Torah itself, right? So there we're talking about a map, literally, and we go not in the order that we go in the Mishnah. But so Tosfos says, okay, I mean, the answer to that question is because of the way that the Pusik makes it clear that it wants you to turn over there. Keep, please, mute your, what is it, Dvorah?
No, I don't
understand anything. You're looking at the clock
from inside or from outside? From outside. From outside, not from the work of the Kohen.
אני הסברתי את זה הרבה פעמים. העבודה של הכהן הוא גם כן מבחוץ, הוא לא מבתוך. הוא מסתכל על המזבח כמו שהוא מסתכל על השעון.
אוקיי,
בסדר. אוקיי, so what we're talking about over here, it says Tosfos, is based on the lashon of the pasuk. The lashon of the pasuk keeps repeating the note, the turn. So therefore, to turn, it's teaching me how to turn. But in a chinami, it makes a great deal of sense, therefore, that the Gemara should say, if you're not actually turning and you're simply drawing a map, that over there's no inyan clockwise or counterclockwise, there's no preference. Okay, looking now, moving on. The last words of the Mishnah said, Shekohen Gadol Makriv Chelek Barosh V'notel Chelek Barosh. So the Kohen Gadol, he's got his rights to take anything to do with korban, or to take any piece that he wants to eat, he could take it all. Tana Rabban. Ketzad Makriv Chelek Barosh. Omer, he could just walk over and he could say, okay, listen, boys, out of the way, I'm going to be Makriv this Ayla. Or Minchazu Ani Makriv. And when we're talking about being Neitoch Chelek Mirosh, what do we mean? He could say, okay, boys, out of the way, I'm taking that Korban Chatas, and I'm taking all the meat for myself. Or I'm taking this Korban Asham, Asham Zeh Ani Ochel. And then, if it's Shavuos, and they're bringing the Shtei Alechem, he could say, okay, boys, out of the way, I'm taking one of those Shtei Alechems. You guys can make do, the rest of the 10,000 of you can do with the other Alechem. You know, so I'm going to walk off with one of the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim. Then you can walk off with four or five of the Lechem Aponims. Arba al Chamesh, Bimaisa Lechem Aponim. Now, this is obviously a little bit of a problem. I mean, first of all, what do you mean four or five? Which one? Is it four or is it five? I mean, obviously, we're going to be talking about different circumstances. But the other problem is that if you're talking about four or five on the Lechem Aponim, that's not half. We seem to have limited the coin to taking half when it comes to something that is unique and nothing else like it is available. So you can only take one of the Shtei Alechem. You can't take two. But if he's allowed to take half, why doesn't he get six? No, put it back on Akiva. Man, oh man, the Sesame Street gang. All right, so what do we mean by taking four or five, and what do we mean by not taking six? Both of these issues are important. All right, so now Rebbe says, I disagree. I say he always gets five of the Lechem Aponim. Now, this is really weird because Rebbe's raya that he gets five of the Lechem Aponim is because since it says in the Torah that the Lechem Aponim should be given to Aharon Uvanav, the way I understand that, says Rebbe, means give half of it to Aaron and half of it to Aaron's children. Okay, so then that means Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. Aaron's children, in the course of a couple of generations, talking to 50 children, and now we're going to be giving half to Aaron and half to his sons, right? So that means the Kohen Gadol is going to be getting half. Mechzel Aaron, u'mechzel Avana, which of course doesn't make any sense because there were 12 Lechem Aponim, so how do we get five if there's 12? Okay, so first of all, says the Gemara, the Braisa makes absolutely no sense. You say that he can be notel chala achat mishtei alechem. So that means that you're saying that he gets 50% of the shtei alechem. Now, who's that going according to? That's going according to Rebbe. Rebbe was our 50% man, right? He says, mechzel Aaron, mechzel Avanav. And then, okay, continue. So what does the next piece in the Braisa say? That he can choose four or five of the Lechem Aponim, but obviously not six. So then that's not going according to Rebbe. That's going according to the Rabbanan, who say, no, he can't take half. And then move on, and what does it say at the end? It says that Rebbe Aymer La'olam Chamesh, so now all of a sudden Rebbe interjects, forget about the other problem. Why would Rebbe say he doesn't get six, which is half? We'll see why. But Rebbe says he always gets five. So how do you understand this? It starts off with one Lechem Aponim as if the whole thing is going on Libra Rebbe. It then moves on to, no, he can't, of the Shtei Lechem, sorry. One Lechem of the Shtei Lechem, which is Rebbe. Then it moves on to four or five of the Lechem Aponim, which is Bedafka, not Rebbe. Because according to Rebbe, it can't be four, right? I mean, so we assume. And then it goes on to Rebbe saying it's always five. So does this make sense to you? The Reisha and the Sefer are both Rebbe Shitas, and the middle goes according to Rabbanan to argue on Rebbe. Amar Abaye, no. It's not true. We never changed our mind. The only time we changed our mind is when we said what Rebbe said. Obviously, Rebbe was arguing. Okay, I mean, that's fair. So, but both the Reisha and the Mitziata are the Rabbanan. And it's not a contradiction to say that you can get one of the Shtei Alechem, but four or five of the Lechem Aponim. Why is it no contradiction? Because the Rabbanan are Moda, that the idea over here is that we are looking at appropriateness, right? And we're not darshaning the Pasuk. It doesn't say anywhere to give half to Aaron and half to Bono. So therefore, what do you think is appropriate? I mean, you think it's very nice for the Kohen Gadol to go up there and take the same amount that the entire Mishmar is taking or that all of the Kohenah is taking? I mean, that's not nice. So because of this, it's basically a question of what is considered to be urachar, correct? Now, let me ask you something else. He's coming to the lechem of the Shtei Alechem. Do you think that it's appropriate to cut up the Shtei Alechem into pieces and start measuring up the pieces for the Kohen Gadol to give them a broken? No. No. So now you have to make your determination which one is less appropriate. Okay, so that's what the Rabbanan are saying. It is less appropriate to cut the lechem, one of the Shtei Alechems into pieces and give the Kohen Gadol a piece broken lechem of the Shtei Alechem, than it is to give him half. Because, I mean, it's quite clear to people. It's not like he's taking, the point is, he's taking the same amount of everyone else. It's just that that's all that's available. So there's one lechem available, so he takes that one lechem. Then when you're talking about the lechem aponim, we're over there, it's perfectly appropriate for him to take full lechems from the lechem aponim. Is it appropriate for him to take half? No. So because of that, he should take less than half. That's also, it's very good. Moda rabbanu beprusa. The lav urachara lemeter lekohen gadol. So we're talking about derech eretz urachara. So then we've got two appropriateness issues, and we have to measure them one against the other. So therefore, we have to give him a full one of the shtei alechem. Okay, so now I want to understand the other thing, says the Gemara. Just explain to me, what do you mean four or five? When is it four and when is it five? And give me four or five. So when is he limited to four? And when is he limited to five? So that is dependent. What Rebbe is saying is, look, it depends whose shita you follow in Maseches Sukkah. Over there we have a question like this. What happens on Shabbos? How do we split up the Lechem Haponim? So we have a big machlokas over there. The simple meaning would be that since we have on every Shabbat, we have the change of the guard, right? That's the Chiluf Mishmarot. So the new Mishmar comes in and takes over at Mitzray Shabbos. And what they have to do, therefore, is a little bit unusual because what they have to do is they are going to finish up the work that the Mishmar that had been there all week had left undone. What was that? Well, when they walk in, all the doors are open and unlocked. Everything is a mess, right? Because, I mean, they haven't shut down yet. The mission didn't shut down. So that means we're leaving the mess for them. So they're going to have to take care now of all of the dlatot. So that, even though they understand that the same thing is going to happen to the next mishmar, which they're going to do to the next mishmar, right? But nobody ever thinks about that. All people think about those stinkers leaving all of their dirty work for us. Exactly the same as when you come in to, you know, a house that somebody else has been into and he's left you a mess. You're the same mess believer the next week, you know. But okay, these are the stinkers. So because of that, in order to avoid that psychology, Chazal said, you know what? Give them straight out payment for doing the cleanup. What's the straight out payment? They're going to get two of the Lechem Aponim for cleaning. Okay, so then that means we only have 10 left because we gave two of them away for cleaning. Out of the 10, then we're going to allow the Kohen Gadol to get out of the 10, five, right? That would be the simple meaning. So according to the Rab, we'll see how we get four. So therefore, if you're going Aliba the Rabbanan, if you're going Aliba the Rabbanan, meaning not the Rabbanan who say, always give a little bit less than half, the ones who argue on Rebbe, but the Rabbanan over there who say that we split it straight down the middle, and there is no schar hagafot dlatot from out of the lechem aponim. So then fine. You've got a total of 12, and he's not allowed to take half, according to Rabbanan. So botzir chada mipalga, one less than half is 5. Now, when did the Rabbanan who say one less than half is 4, huh? That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it says that, no, what we always do is give 2 of the lechem aponims to the mishmar that is nichnas. That's not part of the chalukah. That is payment. Shtayim bischar hagafat latot. Okay, and the other ones that are leaving, they're only going to take 5. So that means the total number of chalot that are up for chalukah are only 10 chalot. So the Rabbanan hold, you can't give the Kohen Gadol 5 because that's not nice. So let him take 4. That explains 4 or 5 according to the Rabbanan. Whereas, according to Rebbe, for some reason, we're going to see what happened to the other 2. According to Rebbe, he says always 5. Rava says, okay, so that's all assuming that there's really the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. That's Abaye's approach. Rava says, no. This whole braisa ad Rava, not like Abaye, who says the whole thing is going like Rabbanan. The whole thing is going according to Rebbe, except that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. And since he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that 2 of the lechem aponims are not mechulak because they're payment for closing the doors. So then according to him, you have 10. Half of 10 is 5. So therefore, you take 1 of the shtei lechem because mechzelar and mechzelabonav, not because it's not nice to cut it, because he's supposed to get a half, which is a full 1 of the shtei lechem. When it comes to the lechem aponim, he gets 5 because there are only 10 lechem aponims that are up for grabs. So he takes half of them. So it's perfectly consistent. So, but wait a minute. So then, according to Rebbe, how could he take 4? You'll never get 4. You'll always get 5, right? No. Because Elo, my Arba, isn't it always Chamesh? No, there is a time that he can get 4. And when is that? When there is a Mishmar HaMitakev. A Mishmar HaMitakev is as follows. What happens when Yontif comes out on Erev Shabbos? Or what happens if Yontif comes out on a Metzoy Shabbos? Now, normally speaking, if you have a Yontif, we have all of the Mishmarot have a right to do the Avodah, right? What happens if there's a Shabbos in the middle of your 7-day Yontif, which happens quite often? So if you have to decide what are you going to do with the Lechem Aponim on that Shabbos, because you don't have a Mishmar Nichnas and a Mishmar Hayotze for that particular Shabbos, since all of the Mishmaras are there, even though beforehand maybe there was a Nichnas and a Yotze. So everybody splits evenly. Now the question is, what do you do in a case where Erev Yontif is Shabbos? So if Erev Yontif is Shabbos, the other Mishmarot that want to be in the Beis HaMikdash for Shabbos have no choice but to be there on Shabbos because they can't travel on Shabbos. So they're going to have to come on Erev Shabbos, right? So if they come, then that means that that Shabbos, for all intents and purposes, was a time when all of the Mishmarot have to be present. Okay, so then they get to share. But what about if, and the same thing would be true if the Shabbos is Erev Yontif. So they can't travel on Shabbos. Okay. What about in a case where you have 1 day to travel? So either you have Sunday is Erev Yontif, but by Sunday night you have to already be there and so on. So then a lot of people are going to say, oh gosh, no, I don't want to get in at the last minute. So you make your decision that you want to go before Shabbos. But I mean, it's not absolutely necessary. Or vice versa. You make a decision that you're going to stay over because, I mean, I don't have time to get home after Yontif, it's Erev Shabbos, I'm going to come into, you stay over the next Shabbos, right? In a case, you had a Friday to go home, but Yontif is over on Thursday. In both of those cases, it's not absolutely necessary for you to be there, but it's understandable that there would be a Mishmar that would hang on not to travel on Erev Shabbos, or there was a Mishmar that would come a day early, even though they could have gotten there on Erev Yontif, which was a Sunday. They didn't want to travel on Sunday. Okay, so that's called a Mishmar HaMitakev. And what we do in that case is we say, okay, listen, boys, You didn't have to be here. You're certainly not going to get to share in everything. We're going to set aside another two chalot. Besides the two chalot of Rabbi Yehuda, where we're going to give that as a schar to the people whose Mishmar actually came out this week, and we're going to be taking over this week. So that's a standard. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we always give those two chalas to that. That leaves 10 chalas. If there's also Mishmar Me'akev, we take another two chalas, we're Me'yached those two chalas for the Mishmar, all of the Mishmaras, there could be 23 other Mishmaras that showed up. Maybe 5%, 10% of those other Mishmaras showed up early or stayed over late, and they're around for Shabbos. But that's what we give them. I don't care how many of them there are. But that leaves for Chalukah only 8 chalos. 2 went to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and 2 went to the Mishmar HaMitakev. So in that case, Rabbi would agree that there's 4. That's all. Well, wait a second. What are you talking about? What do you mean Rabbi agrees that it's 4? let's just say it inside. So Yika Mishmar HaMitakev, so then you only have 8 for Chalukah. And he takes 4. And if there's no Mishmar Me'akev, and it's just a regular Shabbos, so then you've got 10 that are up for grabs, and then the Kohen Gadol, according to Rebbe's Drasha, Mechsel Aaron, Mechsel Abanav, takes 5. But says the Gemara, but that's ridiculous, because now you're coming out that Rebbe's arguing on himself? Well, what does this mean? Omar Rebbe, Le'olam Chomesh. I thought, you just said that according to Rebbe, sometimes it's 4. So why does Rebbe turn around and say Le'olam Chamesh? What is that supposed to mean? That is a bit of a problem, I must admit. So that is Kasha. That's tough. Okay. But I mean, in terms of the first two shitas, we certainly don't have to say that it's about Chalukah between Rebbe and Rabbanan. It could be that maybe all that, I mean, I know it's a little bit the hook, but maybe all that Rebbe's trying to say over here at the end is that, look, you know, like this is a once every 10 years you've got this kind of problem where you've got to, you have to worry about the Shabbos of the Mishmar HaMa'akamet. You know, okay, it's not worth talking about. In practical terms, it's Le'olam Chamesh. Maybe that's what he meant. Pretty weak, but possible.